Yeah, baby. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're having a fantastic day already here. A little around 7:30 here on Facebook Live. Just checking in for a few minutes. Got a couple things I want to get into. Make sure you check out the TKR app. TKR on Apple, Tony Curry Radio on Android. Download the app. You're going to be helping me out big time. It's free, cost you nothing. Great classic rock and roll and fantastic shows. Our podcasts are up 135% from month to month from last month. We just absolutely exploded last month, and a lot of it has to do with a lot of our new shows. We have a Seth Smith show we're going to be doing here shortly. You don't know who Seth Smith is, but you will. Mark Ingram, the athletic director for the UAB Blazers. We have a brand new show called the UAB Director's Chair, which is getting a ton of listeners. We got Kip Kiefer from the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. He does a show called Wanna Bet, Need to Know. I just put that out on social media. We have Students of the Game. We have Austin Hanks, a blues almighty with Billy F. Gibbons from ZZ Top. We have the Damon Johnson show. He's on the road with, I go on and on and on. Fantastic shows. Later on tonight, 8 o'clock, we have over 45,000 people in Sydney, Australia that listen to us every Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. Find out why as we dedicate an entire hour to AC/DC and Live Wire Wednesday, brought to you by Southern Precision Staffing, 205-682-2828 for all your staffing needs. Great shows. Check them out on the Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Just search podcast, wherever you get your podcast, listen to all of our shows, and of course, listen to the TKR app. It's live 24 hours a day. We got Halloween coming up this Monday. It's interesting because I remember living up in Westchester, Ohio. We had on average, like my dad and my mom used to sit at the front door and they count the kids. We had, I think our best year, like 220 something kids that came to our door. And then towards the end, after I left, that we had maybe five or six. And a lot of it's because the kids in the neighborhood grew up and moved away and so forth and so on. And a lot of kids now will travel to different neighborhoods. They know which neighborhoods have the best candy, and so they go to get that, and that's good for you. We did the pillowcase thing. We get the old pillowcase, fill it up, go door to door. We always walked. No one drove. There were no cars, no golf carts, none of that crap. We walked. We walked. Al Cooper, good morning. Buddy Little, good morning to you. We walked until we got tired. We had about 3 or 4 hours, and we'd walk until our legs fell out or the bag of candy got too heavy, and then we'd go home. But we walked everywhere. This whole thing, people are on hay rides now. They're in the back of pickup trucks. You know, people down here in Birmingham, they go, "Well, there are too many hills." Well, you know, we'd walk the hills. It didn't matter, right? We always knew there were a couple houses that we didn't go to. If the lights were off, you didn't go. If the lights were on, you went. You knew all your neighbors, so you were good to go. We did go other neighborhoods. Anyway, so we'd get home, and I'd have this bag of candy, and I think it was like 4 or 5 pounds, and it would go in the bottom of my bed because I had two older brothers and an older sister. We'd steal each other's stuff, and we'd take all the good candy, right? No popcorn balls, no nickels, no pennies, none of that crap. I mean, it was all really, really good stuff. The thing is back in our time, we didn't have candy. Yeah, my mom and dad didn't have bowls of candy around, and it wasn't because they didn't want us to have candy. We just didn't. There's candy everywhere now. I was down at the Shelby County Courthouse the other day, and there were bowls of candy everywhere. And it's like a week and a half before Halloween. It's like candy everywhere at the courthouse. So candy is so much more accessible now than it's ever been. It's candy everywhere. I keep talking about candy shortages. Bullshit. I have candy shortages. There's never going to be a candy shortage. There's candy everywhere. There's so much candy that dentists are buying it back. We're giving it away. I got Halloween candy from last year that I'm going to use this year. It's still good, by the way, as long as there ain't no bugs in it. So we used to have our candy, and it was special. It was special to have candy because it was really the only time, you know, outside Christmas or on the holidays, you used to get some chocolate. But for the most part, or Easter, that was the candy you had. And so, and I would eat the entire stinking bag. I don't care if it was Gobstoppers. I don't care if it was Juju Fruits. I don't care if it was candy I didn't like. You know, I ate the chocolate stuff first and then all the Twizzlers and all those other things that didn't have chocolate on them. I'd eat those last. But I mean, I ate the whole thing. And so there's a psychologist came out yesterday saying how we should keep our kids from not eating too much candy. And they say the best way to do that is to let your kids have the candy. It's a special event. It's a special day. And let them get after it. Let them go crazy. Just let them eat everything they want. Let them get the belly aches. Let them feel like hell. Just let them eat all the candy they got. The parents that allow their kids, okay, kids, you know, because you're eating candy on the walk, you're eating candy on the way back, you get home, you pour your bag out, you're looking through things, you're picking through things, this, that, and the other, and then you wake up the next, I remember waking up the next morning, I could not wait to reach the bottom of my bed. That was the only time I made my bed, too, because if I didn't tuck my sheets in the bottom, my brother would come in through the bottom and grab my bag of candy in the middle of the night, so I tucked my sheets in, that way he couldn't get to it. And so we ate all the candy we wanted, and it lasted about 2 weeks. About 2 weeks, I would go through like 700 pounds of candy in 2 weeks, and I was done. I didn't want candy. And that's the psychologist. Maybe we can ask Dr. Josh about this tomorrow on the Curry and Claypo show. We'll also be on Fox 6 tomorrow at 9:35 with Janice Rogers and Mike Dubberly. I think the reason is because when you know you can have all the candy you want, it's not special anymore. It's no big deal. And so you go through it, you feel like hell, you don't eat candy for a few more months until the next Halloween or until Christmas in a couple of months, and you're good to go. They're saying that children won't gain as much weight. They don't have as many sugar highs and insulin issues because if you let your kid just go out and get after it, your candy, do whatever you want. You can eat at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't care. Eat it before dinner, whatever you want to do. Knock it out. When it's gone, it's gone. And if you do that, they won't want it as much. It's kind of like, you know, that guy or that woman that's free to give it all up. When you finally get it, you're like, well, it ain't special anymore. I ain't got nothing to chase. But if you're sitting there as a parent going, okay, you can have 2 pieces of chocolate before you go to bed tonight or 2 pieces of chocolate a Saturday, then it makes the kids want it even more, and it's not special anymore. Let your kids get after it. Go crazy. All right, do you watch Friends? Every afternoon on Channel 22 on my Spectrum cable. By the way, I'm about ready to cut the cord finally after about 10 years. It's too damn expensive. TBS runs Friends. They run like 17 episodes in a row every day. You can watch the entire season like in a week. And I grew up watching Friends. I love Friends. It was in the 90s and went on for 10 years about that time in my life. And now it's kind of a comfort show for me. Whenever I turn Friends on, I know I can watch 2 or 3 episodes, be good to go. Sometimes I do some meditation, do some prayers. I watch a little TV. Maybe I take a little nap, hang out with my dogs, and I do it almost every single day. And so I liked everyone on Friends. I think all 6 people on that show have done a miraculous job at staying relatively clean throughout their lives and their careers. You don't hear a lot about it. Jennifer Aniston has done a ton of movies. Monica Geller, Courtney Cox, of course, from the Birmingham area. So when I saw this Matthew Perry book coming out, I was kind of like, and Matthew was the one when they had the reunion show about a year and a half ago, where he was the one that most people had the questions about, because he was slurring a little bit, he looked different, everyone else looks pretty good, he had a little bit of a double chin, hadn't shaved, just looked a little different. And then we found out that Matthew Perry, who played Chandler Bing, had some issues. Stephen Crutcher, good morning to you, had some issues. He had gone through some drug addictions, some alcohol addictions during the taping of the show. He was, when they were doing the reunion, he was the one making the shirts. He was the one hitting the talking scene where everyone else was kind of like, hey, it's our own little thing. So he was kind of the wild card a little bit. And I think a lot of people wanted to know, you know, did the people on Friends hook up during shows? Were there actual love affairs that were going on there? Were there any issues going on? Because the show was written and done so well for 10 years. And the way it ended was fantastic. I don't want to see it come back because those are the memories I have of that show. And I think it's one of the greatest comedy shows we've ever had in our lives. So when he wrote this book, I'm like, do I really want to read the behind the curtain stuff that happened on Friends? And I realized he's the one that wrote it. It wasn't written about him. So I know it was going to be truthful, or at least the way he remembers it. So the first thing I hear is that he was going through some addictions. A lot of us have done that. And that interests me a little bit. He had a dependency on Vicodin and some other different drugs. And he used to drink a quart of vodka every day, this, that, and the other. And he mentioned that he doesn't actually remember a couple of the seasons of Friends, which really kind of bummed me out because when I saw Chandler, he was the funny one. I always thought he was really, really funny and thought he was very, very good. And now when I watch the show, I'm thinking to myself, okay, is he messed up? Because it was so good, I don't see it. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe he felt like he was messed up, but he really wasn't that messed up. I don't know. But he mentioned that he went to rehab the day they shot the wedding scene between Monica Geller and Chandler Bing, which was a great episode. It was a beautiful episode. Those two finally found each other. It was great. And I'm thinking to myself, and I saw the episode a couple days ago, and I don't see it. I'm like, the guy looks like he's fine. And maybe that's the whole point. He wanted to let us know that he wasn't fine. He said he spent nearly $8 or $9 million on rehabilitation services to get clean. He has been clean for about 18 months, which is great. And I'm super happy for him. And he seems like he's generally alive. You know, now that he's written a book, people, paparazzi, TMZ, they're out there taking pictures of him. The guy doesn't look anything like he did in Friends, but he looks good. And so then he goes on to say, this is where he's telling me some things. And I haven't read the book. I just read the excerpts. And, of course, they're releasing these excerpts, obviously, because it's the juicy parts, right? But he mentioned that his colon almost exploded because of all the drugs he was taking. He also mentions that he dated Julia Roberts. Chandler Bing, or Matthew Perry, was Chandler Bing. He was thinking, always talks about, you know, that he couldn't find the right things in women and that no woman would suffice. And yet he was the one that was super insecure about himself. He'd always find something about a woman that he didn't like so he could break up with her. That's exactly who this dude is, man. Matthew Perry mentioned the fact that he went out with Julia Roberts and said she was so out for his league. And you're thinking to yourself, dude, you're Chandler Bing on the greatest comedy show of all time. You could have had anybody. He's a good looking guy. And so he starts dating Julia Roberts before she comes on the show. They're on the show. He dated for a couple months, and he broke up with her first because he was afraid she was going to break up with him. And I'm thinking, dude, you're going out with Julia Roberts? Then this story breaks last night from the book. I don't know if you read it yet. That he said he made out with Valerie Bertinelli while her husband, Eddie Van Halen, passed out on a bed next to them going. And that's kind of where I'm like, dude. It's kind of like, I want to read it, but it's kind of pathetic. You know what I'm saying? It's like, dude, you're not painting yourself in a really good light. I like when people are totally transparent. For whatever reason, he felt the need to share his life with us, which I don't know if we want to know his life. And it's not to say that we want to remember him as the character Chandler Bing, because it's going to ruin us. I'm still going to watch the show. It's still in syndication. I think syndication rights are like $350,000 a season. That's crazy. I mean, the money that these six friends are getting just from syndication is enough for like 55 people to live comfortably for the rest of their lives. He was making $50,000 an episode when they first started. He was making $1 million an episode in seasons 9 and 10. So the guy's got some money, right? I think he's worth like $115 million. He didn't have to work another day in his life if he don't want to. And of course, he did other movie roles. But I'm like, do I really want to hear about him making out with Valerie Bertinelli? So he was on this show called Sydney, where Valerie Bertinelli was a private investigator or something. He was a police officer. And they worked together, and it was a horrible show, and it lasted like 4 episodes, and then they quit. And he was in love with her. He just fell head over heels with her and would fantasize. He's talking about how he would fantasize with her. And come to find out, she had the same feelings for him. Well, Valerie was already married to Eddie Van Halen, and you know how I am about messing around with married people. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Don't tell me you're getting separated. Don't tell me you're getting divorced. Let me know when it happens, and we'll go. But I am not going to be the one that breaks that apart, because if you can somehow reconcile, go for it. That's a good thing. So, obviously, Eddie Van Halen was into his own addictions, his own issues. He passes out after a concert. Him and Valerie are sitting in this room, and they start making out. And I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to hear that. It's very, it's not self-deprecating. It's almost, it's got a little ego to it, that Matthew Perry is talking about all these beautiful women that he made out with, yet he thought they were so far out of his league that he felt uncomfortable to even be with these women. And Valerie is one of those gals. He was kind of like, I couldn't believe I was making out with Valerie Bertinelli. I was like, dude, are you? And this just goes to show that no matter how famous you are, how big you are, how much people love you, there are some people that just have some insecurities that they'll never get through, that they just never feel like they're worthy. And I guess that's Matthew Perry, I guess. He's going to be going on the interview. Brant is going to be going on Oprah and all these different things over the next couple of weeks. And I think it's interesting because it is one of the most beloved shows we've ever watched, but it's kind of pathetic. It just kind of bothers me. You know what I mean? It's kind of like I'm seeing these people and I want them to live up to the person that I saw on television. And I understand that's a TV show. I understand they're real. And I know we all have skeletons. We all have issues. We all have major issues. I get that. But I don't know if I want to read about it. And then him just talking about making out with Valerie Bertinelli while her husband's lying there in bed passed out. I was just kind of like, it's just kind of pathetic. I don't know. It's making me look at him a little differently. I'm trying to separate the two, but I don't know. All right, Keith Urban today at 55. Talk about a guy who went through some addiction issues and had all kinds of issues. Nicole Kidman, of course, his lovely bride, turns 55 today. If I'm not a big country guy, but if you ever get a chance to go see a Keith Urban concert, man, it's killer. Becky Alcorn, good morning to you. It is killer. This dude can play the mandolin, he can play the zither, he can play everything, and he is a hell of a guitar player. I could go watch Keith Urban just play guitar with no words, no singing. I mean, just watch him play. He's a great guitar player. And Pat Sajak turned 76 today. All right, make sure you go check out the TKR app. Pick that up. Super easy. Go if you're on an Apple phone, just look up TKR. You'll see a little guitar. Tap it for me. Listen to it. If you don't like it, get rid of it. But I promise you're gonna like it. We got hundreds of 5-star reviews. We do classic rock, and then we have shows. Kicks off with Students of the Game. 3 college kids talking college football. That starts at 9 o'clock. We have shows almost every single hour. We got several new shows that we're gonna be starting here in November that I'm really, really excited about. That's gonna take us up. We're up 135%. In September alone, so it's finally taken off, and I'm loving that. It's just, I've worked really, really hard at bringing great content. Content is king to the TKR app and to our radio podcast, and it's just taken off, and I thank you so much for watching and listening to all of our episodes. It's fantastic. Check that out, and again, wherever you get your podcast, check it out. Some great musically elemented shows with Halloween coming up. A lot of things are centered around Halloween coming up on Monday, so... And make sure you put that bag of candy in the bottom of your bed there and let your kid just get after it. Let them just eat it and puke. I promise you they'll never. It's kind of like the tequila thing. Remember the tequila thing? When you get sick the first time on tequila, you couldn't drink it again? Maybe that will happen with candy, my friend. All right, have yourself a wonderful day. Thanks for watching. I want to thank everyone for watching this morning. Don't forget our big Halloween party coming up on Saturday night has been postponed. Too much going on. And I apologize to everyone who already bought tickets. You can go to workplay.com to get your money back. But we're going to have a show coming up in December where it's going to be even bigger and better. So we got that going on. I want to thank, of course, all of our great sponsors, Chris Dorsey, State Farm Team, Budweiser, I love you, the Woodhouse Day Spa, Birmingham.WoodhouseSpas.com, Southern Precision Staffing, Driscoll Gray, Jimmy Hale Mission, the Montgomery Food Bank, the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. I want to thank those fine folks. I know I'm missing some people. Al Cooper from the Coosa Valley Auto Sales. He's having an awesome week. He's trying to set a record for car sales this week. So get after it, Al. He is going to be open here in probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours, but he's already hit me up this morning. So he'll answer the phone. Al Cooper, CoosaValleyAutoSale.com. Cooser. I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of Chandler Bing is what I'm doing. CoosaValleyAutoSale.com. CoosaValleyAutoSale.com. Check out their website. They also have a great antique shop. You want to go buy a used car? Maybe your wife, your girlfriend, Coosa Valley Auto Sales, I know. Maybe you're going to go buy a car, and while you're doing that, go to their shop right next door. It's called the Blue Herring. It's like 50 yards away, and you can do some antique shopping just in time for the holidays coming up. They got some great antiques at the Blue Heron and Coosa Valley Auto Sales. You're good to go. It's a double whammy, man. You're going to love it. I know. I'm crying, too. Have yourself a wonderful day, a blessed day. Thank you so much for watching this morning, and we'll get after it here on TKR. I love you.